Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
That's 603-283-6160. We have a caller on the line, but first I would like to thank Thomas Knapp for being a silver level amplifier with us. That means that Thomas is giving at least $5 a month to the AMPS program, and we would like to thank him so much for doing that. That means he is helping to advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. And if you would like to learn more and join like Thomas has, you can go to amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. And with you on the show tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Donald J. Trump. Let me tell you, this studio is very nice, but I have a much nicer one in Mar-a-Lago. Colin.
And?
That's very funny. Mark Edge coming to you from Florida. Just want to say thanks, Tom.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much, Tom Knapp, for being a amplifier with us. And you can go to amps.freetalklive.com if you'd like to learn more. But for now, we're going to go to the phones. We have Skeeter calling from California. Skeeter, what's on your mind?
Sorry.
I'm sorry. How'd you mute it? Could you start over? Accident, sorry.
It's your boy, the evolutionary capitalist.
Son, I've been missing you.
What's that?
I'm joking around. I said, son, I've been missing you. Where have you been?
Son? I'm your daddy, homie. Hey,
oh my God.
All hail the savior of democracy, Javier Milei. Hey, Mark, you know why ANCAPs don't move out of the country? Because deep down they love free riding, supreme national defense, cheap world reserve currency, and incumbent roads and infrastructure. That's why they're plotting to steal it.
It's probably the infrastructure. Because you get the, you get the defense everywhere. Nobody's going to invade Honduras or Guatemala or Belize because of the United States military already.
But they love constitutional rights.
Well, constitutional rights only apply if you have, look, they're all based on the government and what it might do. So, the right to freedom of speech doesn't apply to me and you. It applies from you and the government and me and the government. The right to keep and bear arms doesn't have anything to do with me and you. Like, you can't carry a gun into my house. But it has to do with you and the government and me and the government.
It's a small price to pay for supreme national defense and cheap currency to start a business with. I'll gladly trade freedom for what government provides. I think we all get more than we pay for, as long as you don't consider the debt.
I think you're wrong about that starting a business thing. The United States is not a welcoming place to start businesses. I mean, it's better than some countries, but not all of them.
Yeah, have you ever started a business? Because there's so many taxes you have to pay.
Regulations.
To start businesses. Yeah, the regulations that you can and can't do.
No, it's a big price.
The first thing you're worried about is a business.
There's a reason all so many businesses have left the United States and gone to other places. And it's not just cheap labor. It's, all sorts of regulations and stuff, too.
No, it's cheap capital, number one. Number two, it's supreme national defense. If you're worried about your country getting taken over, like in Ukraine or something, you're not likely to start a business there. And we get more than we pay for with national defense. As an accelerationist, I welcome it. But, of course, I do want to accelerate it, just unlike what Milei's doing which is saving democracy. This is what
I
wanted to talk about.
I don't even think he claims that, and none of us do. None of us talk about saving democracy when we talk about Malay. Like, I don't understand where
that's
you got
what he's
that.
Doing.
Did he ever say that? Did we ever say that?
Yeah, I got all my sources down because apparently when Skeeter says something, I need three independent sources. While Scott can say anything, and it becomes gospel, right? That's how it works on Free Talk Live. But
yeah, that's how it works.
I got all these sources.
Anyways, go ahead.
You can look at his strategy. Look what he's doing. And I got all the news clippings if you need it. But he's raising taxes. He's cutting government spending that would have been cut anyway if you had a fiscal collapse or a crisis. And he's trying to pay back all government stakeholders. He's saving the democratic parasite. That's what he's doing. And that's what your head caps are cheering on. You guys should be ashamed of yourselves. Ashamed!
Believe it or not, there is a little bit of truth in what you say, but, you know, I don't think that you're completely right in saying if he wasn't there, some of these things were going to happen anyways. I mean, you'd be surprised how bad and how long things... No, things could stay bad for a really long time. The Soviet Union lasted for like 80 years, you know. You can already see that in Argentina it's been bad on and off for like 100 years with multiple currency reevaluations. You know, it's actually so bad that a lot of Argentines have left the country and gone to other places.
What does prolonging the collapse do other than delay the optimal system from coming about? That's what you guys don't understand about accelerationism. It's accelerating the collapse so you can get to a higher state.
I just want to make sure we're on the same page. What are you saying this optimum state's going to be?
Evolutionary capitalism.
See, this is what I always tell them, is that there will just be a void, and there's going to be whoever wants to will just become the government. The worst criminals will become the government.
What is evolutionary capitalism?
Evolutionary capitalism is...
Oh, did I? Oh.
Evolutionary capitalism is the true ethic of the market. It rejects all Austrian analysis, all Austrian school, all libertarian principles, which just steal property ethic from democracy, which is Lockean property rights. That is not a market ethic, right? Evolutionary capitalism focuses on that morality comes from evolution, number one, and it uses capitalism in order to distribute its ethic.
Did we get evolutionary capitalism when the Western Roman Empire fell?
It's part of it. All these systems that collapse, it's part of the evolutionary process.
Which collapse will bring us to evolutionary capitalism. You're just saying more collapse is good.
Unfortunately, so economics is a relatively new soft science. I mean, it's going to take a while for us to understand the evolution. I mean, we have to go through a lot of it. So people have to learn through collapse. They have to.
Well, can we learn without collapse? Is what the question I would ask is that.
Do you think people can learn that communism is bad just from reading Mises, which is all false rubbish?
And apparently they can't learn from a collapse either. I mean, communism is responsible for more people dying than any other system, but still you have blue-haired lesbians coming out of college saying, yay, communism!
And the other thing is, like, I know communism is bad and I didn't have to live through it. None of us here have had to live through communism as far as I know, and we know communism's bad.
Yeah, and I'll actually say this, too. I was looking for the proof that it was wrong, like the actual hardcore proof, and I found that through the Austrian School of Economics. It's the economic calculation problem, and that's when you realize that it can never work. It can never work because
that relies on subjective value, which is a false theory. Value is objective.
Value is objective.
Yeah, value is hella objective. you gotta listen to all the debates I've had with other co-hosts, but
no, I'm just waiting for your book. When you put out that book,
that's one of the false teachings of the Austrian school, among many other things. I mean, there's the fallacious arguments of argumentation ethics. There's the false religion of subjective value, which they snuck in, right? It was really the marginal revolution, and the Austrians injected agenda into this whole thing about value, which subjectivity, which is totally false. I mean, morality is not subjective.
I just want the listeners to understand.
No, those are tied together. You have subjective value, and different people come to the marketplace, and then the market price derives from those multiple people being there and having different bid prices on items. They've worked that out. I mean, you might not have read enough of the Mises and that stuff.
No, they haven't.
Take me a while to find the video, but I can find the video and send it to you. I've watched thousands of hours of their stuff.
I can explain it to you. The whole quest of value theory is to determine the determinants of price and value, because value is ultimately the cause of,
how
you know,
could it
demand.
Be objective?
No, price and value
are
two separate
things. We're
all
talking about the same thing, and that the callers can understand what you're talking about. I muted you because I just can't freaking think when your stupid voice is making all that noise, Skeeter. But I just wanted to ask, what do you mean? What do you guys mean by value is subjective or objective? If it was objective, would you be saying that, like, at all times in history, everybody would agree that apple pie was worth the same amount? Like, what is that supposed to mean? What are you guys saying?
So the Austrians injected subjectivity, and they want to conflate what economists call expected value with value, right? They want to make it seem like whatever the actor thinks is value, right? But that's not real value. That's expected value. True value is use value is the use value of a good or action to that actor, and that can be evaluated by anybody other than the actor himself. And that's what the Austrians. That's what the Austrian agenda is.
Okay, so what do you have to say to that, Colin?
There's a lot of stuff I'd have to back up to go through in order to, like, kind of correct some of this. I understand a lot of the things you're saying, but I'm not, like, even geared for that argument tonight. I mean, you say, oh, there's certain... There are things that have value, like money, because people don't want it in and of itself. They want it only to use because other people want to use it. And so you do have some things that have value that is outside of the individual, in a sense. But all the values always relate back to the individuals and how they value the different things that they want in life. And then through the market, there becomes the market price for it.
Value is not really determined by the individual. It's really determined by both the objective features of the good action.
Price is determined by the market.
And the context in which you going to interrupt me again. What are you saying? Go ahead.
I'm correcting the price. There's price and there's value, and those are two different things. Value, you don't even have to have price.
I'm not conflating the two.
You don't even have to have prices in order to have value. Like if I'm on an island alone, I can value things differently.
So value theory was an ad hoc quest to explain prices. I understand that. I said that in the beginning. I'm not conflating the two. I'm talking about utility, okay? I'm talking about marginal utility of a good or action to an actor, okay?
It just seems so silly because it's like as people become richer as a country and people become richer, like obviously they're going to want some stupid little thing like a Stanley Cup when in the past like a clay cup that's like the easiest possible thing to make, you know, whatever would be all that.
Well, here's the best example. So here's the proof that that value is subjective. If you were going through the desert and you're dying of thirst, and somebody offered you, and you had a pocket full of money, and somebody offered you a gallon of water for $100, depending how far you were along in dying, you would pay that $100 because $100 overpaying for water is better than dying.
Yeah.
Now, if you are at the grocery store and a gallon of water is 99 cents, you're liable to buy it. But if it's $100, you're not going to. Value is subjective. Anybody who says differently clearly has some weird ass axe to grind.
What do you have to say to that, Skeeter? I'm unmuting you now.
Hey, no, Mark. You're talking about the objective circumstances of action. You're talking about a circumstance which applies to virtually everybody being thirsty in a desert. That's objective. That's an objective
doesn't apply
not
to me.
To,
has never applied
to me. Anyone's particular mind. If I put anyone in that situation, they will pay that high price for a bottle of water. And that's what makes it objective. Anybody can evaluate this, and not just the actor himself. I can look at you being dehydrated and almost dying.
But everyone will not only...
And say it's
a
utility to you.
There will never be a time when everybody is starving and, you know, doesn't have water in the desert, but, like, everybody's in different spots in their lives, so that will you're not arguing from reality.
I actually disagree, because not everybody, even in the desert, is going to pay a price. Some people are going to say, I'll risk it and go ahead and, like, not buy this water. And, you know, there might be somebody who just doesn't care. That's the last straw, and they just say, fine, whatever, I'm just ready to die anyways. So people, I mean, you value your own life, and you value the water, and you make a decision. But that's the thing, is that inter within the person, how they're going to place that is dependent on that person. I mean, well, go ahead, I guess.
Am I muted? Oh, first, Bonnie, let me address that, right? So subjectivity has nothing to do with value differing from person to person, because value can also differ for a person in different times because of the context, right?
Like, aren't you describing why it's subjective, not why it's objective? Like,
no,
if it was objective, then wouldn't it never change?
This is why I hate ANCAP. They don't
this
even
is why I
MPV.
Asked you to explain what you were meaning, and all you do is you can't answer questions. You're too stupid. Like, this is what having a conversation is like. You are too stupid to answer questions and tell people what you're talking about. You just want to yell and try to use words to make yourself sound smart. And then when I ask you what you're talking
about... Bonnie, that's what I do too, actually.
Yeah.
That was a joke.
What subjective means, Bonnie. So subjective means it comes from the actor's mind. It's created totally from the actor's mind. It's a total product of the mind. That's what they mean by subjective. And they need this in order to justify laissez-faire economics and to justify the ECP, or the economic calculation problem, right? Because when it's subjective, it's locked into the mind of the actor, and no one can tell him different. That's what they cheat to get to, right?
Why
but
would that be
the case?
Like, I just understand. I don't understand why it would have to be that way. Like,
hey, Skeeter, what economics, what author would I read to have the best explanation of the economic theories that you're purporting tonight?
Your boy. I had to make it ad hoc just to dispute the subjective theory value.
Can you do me a favor and write a book so that your peers, the economists, can, you know, peer review you? Because I can't. You're asking what you want to do is you want to pretend like if you're in fact an economist, and I'm going to go ahead and presume you are, that you're going on the playground and you're picking on the middle school kids, and when you're, you know, some you've got a master's degree, you're going to the middle school kids and you're picking on them. I cannot dispute every theory of economics. That's not my job. My job is to do talk. And I've talked to you about subjective. You've redefined what subjective means to me.
That's
and then
what
you
it
say,
sounds like to me, to be honest.
And then you say, but my theory, I'm the only one with my theory, which is the same thing. It's not to say that it's so, but it's the same thing that an absolute crazy man would say.
Okay, I think that we've had enough Skeeter for tonight. I feel like that's the longest I've ever talked to him, so he should be grateful. Thank you for the call, Skeeter. Sarah?
I'd be grateful, too, if you called me crazy on the air.
Someone who is totally not crazy, Sarah in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Uh-oh.
Sorry, I had you muted, Sarah. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Am I on now?
Yeah, Sarah, what's on your mind?
Oh, yeah, you know, I just want to say that I'm so excited. You know, I got 9 people put under me in my network marketing, so I'm just so happy. I got moved around. So
let me get this clear. Did you get them? Did you sign these 9 people up for the network marketing, or did your network marketing company just kind of
I didn't
put them up
anybody underneath up, and then my upper people, my enroller moved me, and then I winded up having 9 customers put under me. So which means I'm going to be getting like 7% of free loyalty dollars you know, it's that now we get free product dollars.
Oh, so you don't get dollars. You don't get dollars there, you get company dollars, so they're only
those
spendable.
Might be worth more than U.S. dollars before long.
Yeah, one day.
Well, I mean, basically, it's only I could use it to use buy their products after I finish ordering 35 points or more, which is my monthly commitment. After that, I could buy using those product dollars coming up. I
so
could
you're
buy
saving,
products with it.
You're saving $7 in points or company dollars.
Okay, 7% coming from 9 people is about around $3. So $3 times 9, it'll be around about $27.
What's the product, can I ask?
Huh?
What are the products? I'm curious.
Well, we have 4,000 products. My favorite is our all-natural environmental laundry care products and our cleaning products. And then also we got our vitamins, high quality vitamins. But I get to give out a lot more soaps and lotions, and we have a
Bonnie needs that
special.
Huh? Bonnie needs those soaps and lotions.
Why?
You just said you need all that lotion for the desert air and.
Oh, if I move to Utah, I'll go through Albuquerque and see you, Sarah, and get some lotion for my desert air skin.
Well, the thing is, we're not deliverers. You know, like all the other companies, the network, I mean, you're a deliverer. They order whenever they want it, but we just set you up with a company. Or you order online, you order yourself, your monthly, we just hook you up with a company. We're just giving referrals. You order yourself and you have it shipped to your house. So consumer direct marketing. So then I think we have like a really super top quality product. And the thing I like about it the most is that you being a committed customer, you get these free product dollars. Because they always ask me, like, well, I mean, I could go to Costco, Sam's Club, Walmart. I've been doing it all my life. Why should I order every month with you guys? And my biggest answer is that being, you know, you could get free product dollars from 30 spots after so many years.
Now, what did you call this? You called it a marketing what? A marketing...
It's also called all that consumer direct marketing. Consumer direct marketing.
Yeah, is this in any way different from like multi-level marketing?
I don't know. The model is kind of similar, but this company doesn't do deliveries. You know what I mean? And then we don't sell stuff. It's against the policy. We just set you up with the company. You order yourself 35 points or more.
Well, I think it's very interesting that Sarah has become a capitalist and she's got a job now and she's no longer a communist. Thank you for the call, Sarah. 603-283-6160. That's the phone number you can call. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. Don't go anywhere. More coming up.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
USA News Update. Nikki Haley's decided to end her campaign for the GOP presidential nomination. The former South Carolina governor conveyed the news to her supporters in South Carolina, expressing her well wishes for Donald Trump without officially endorsing him. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said his endorsement of the former president should be expected. McConnell made the announcement endorsing Trump shortly after Nikki Haley suspended her campaign. McConnell emphasized that Trump has garnered the necessary backing from Republican voters. On April 25th, the Supreme Supreme Court is scheduled to listen to oral arguments in the case concerning former President Trump's immunity. Trump is appealing a decision from a lower court that rejected his assertion of immunity from criminal prosecution in his federal election interference case. The case brought by special counsel Jack Smith against Trump is presently on hold as the high court deliberates whether a former president can be charged for actions while in office. John Schaefer, USA News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number you can call in to bring up whatever is on your mind. That's 603-283-6160. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by ForkFest, happening June 13th through the 16th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, so there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. For more information and to connect with other attendees, you can visit the unofficial website forkfest.party. That's forkfest.party. And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Colin,
and Mark Edge, remote from Florida.
And at the very beginning of this show that's been very hectic and basically just overstimulating to me with, you know, whenever there's a caller, there's like four people talking. But it's been fun. At the very beginning of the show, we were talking about the Heritage Foundation's listing of the freest countries in the world. And I want to get into a couple of these. They say here in the article about it, they say that this is a 23-year low. So it says the 2024 index stands at a 23-year low of global economic freedom rating, only about 58.6 out of 100. I don't know what that number comes from or anything, but
it might be like the total for all the countries or something. I don't know. I didn't read the thing.
Yeah. I need to like get this whole thing pulled up, but it's like really weird looking here. Oh, you have to, like, download this whole thing. I can at least tell you what the top ones are here. So it says that, oops, number one is Singapore, which I think it always is.
Well, usually Singapore was number two back when Hong Kong was on the list.
Really? Okay, so yeah, this is the one where they've taken Hong Kong off the list. I forget what the other one is, but Singapore's number one. Okay, I got them all pulled up now. Number two is Switzerland. Haven't you been there, Mark?
Yeah, I've been to Switzerland, and the cantons are governed independently there, so it's very much like...
They're like states. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That means that essentially, like states, they can be, more or less free as a result. So you can be pretty free in Switzerland, but the cost of living is quite high there. So
earnings are high too, though. So
if you're gonna have a job, but
that looks like a beautiful place. Maybe me and Ian should just move to Switzerland.
Yes,
it would be. Really pretty, kind of cold, I think.
I can say the Swiss do a lot of things right.
They have guns.
There's a lot of rules about those. I actually was talking with a Swiss guy at an Acapulco this year, and he was saying how they're slowly changing things, and it's not quite what it used to be. I mean, they haven't had the banking secrecy stuff for quite a while now. And then now they're actually getting involved. They've done away with the neutrality. Now they're involved. They went down on the sanction packages and stuff against Russia, which really just means they're no different from any other country, so they're not neutral anymore.
Wow.
And then he was saying with the gun thing, it used to be that, of course, you kept the gun at your home, but you also kept the bullets there, too. And now they don't do that, so you have to go somewhere else to go get the bullets. So it kind of, like, defeats the whole purpose of having the gun in the home, yeah.
Wow. So the top five, we have Singapore, Switzerland, Ireland, Taiwan, and Luxembourg. But it does look like we have a caller on the line. So, unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind? And what's your name?
My name is... Go ahead. Hi. Yeah, my name is Calvin. I'm in New Hampshire. This whole topic with the rankings of, the freest countries in the world, this is something that back when I was in college, I studied international relations, and this is something that came up quite a bit. I think you're going off the Heritage Foundation list of the Index of Economic Freedom.
Yeah.
Which, as we all know, is a narrow aspect of human freedom. I mean, it's vitally important.
I was getting the vibe it was probably the economic one when she said the first two. I was like,
Singapore.
Yeah.
Singapore.
And then Switzerland.
Did I mix the names up? I thought I had said that it's the Heritage Foundation's Index of Economic Freedom. If I didn't say that,
Not have sunk in with me. I mean, there's a lot of these freedom lists, but some of them include different personal freedoms and other things.
Right.
So yeah.
Right.
Although the economic freedom is always the easiest one to measure, to be honest.
Yeah, it's the easiest to measure, and it's most important, in my opinion. So, the right to smoke a doob out in front of your house or whatever that might be, you can find a place to do that because politicians don't ultimately care about that. What they care about is what they can pilfer out of your wallet. What they care about is, their regulations and these sorts of things. And that's the thing that's difficult.
Well, I think this actually circles back really nicely to talk about, subjective value, because what you value for freedom is not necessarily what someone else is going to value.
Sure, and that's exactly what I say about New Hampshire is I don't want to drive my motorcycle helmetless with my gay lover on the back smoking a doob without a seatbelt, right?
But you weren't thinking about
it. To me, that's pointless.
Yeah, so, for example, Singapore, their unofficial motto is Disneyland with a death penalty. I mean, if, drug use freedom is important to you, Singapore's going to be very, very, very low on your list.
Hmm.
And, one of the lists that I...
But Thailand's just really a hop away.
Yeah, sure. But, one of the lists I really like is Cato's Human Freedom Index, which measures not only economic freedom, but it also tries to throw in some social freedoms as well. And to show you how different they are, some of them, like Switzerland, I believe, is the top of Cato's list. But when you factor in social freedoms, Singapore drops all the way down to 44.
Is Cato the one? I know there's one of these lists that's been produced where you can go in and put in your own metric. That is, you could say, these are the things I value, and then it will generate a list for you. Is that Cato, or is that somebody else, or do you know?
I haven't heard of that, but that actually sounds like a really good idea.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Ian would be interested in that. The reason we're talking about the Heritage Foundation one right now is just that they came out with their for 2024, and Cato hasn't. So that's all. Like, we talk about the Cato one here on the show, too. Ian's very interested in keeping up with this. But have you looked into moving out of the country and, like, you settled with New Hampshire? Because I'd be interested to know why you did that. We have Mark on the line, or, you know, Mark on the show tonight, and he has lived in New Hampshire, tried that out, and decided it's not for him, and he moved to Honduras. So I'm just interested why you chose New Hampshire when you said you have had an interest in, you know, other countries.
Help. Yeah, absolutely. So, I was born and raised in Texas. You know, I always say, like, how do you know somebody's from Texas? They'll tell you. So it's pretty hard for me to leave, but
what
I couldn't really imagine living the Houston area, actually, the largest city with no zoning. So, and I work in the real estate industry. So, you know, when it comes to land use freedom, actually, Houston is way more free than New Hampshire, currently, at least most parts of New Hampshire.
I've never heard that about
Houston. Small, unzoned. Yeah, actually, I believe Sorens is also, Jason Sorens is also from the Houston area.
I didn't even know he was from Texas.
He's really big.
Yeah, I didn't know where he was from. I guess I just thought he was from New York.
Yeah, he's really big into land use freedom, too. So,
I'm from San Antonio,
you know,
so... I had not been there.
Oh, you're from wherever is convenient at any point in time.
There you go. So,
well, where is Texas on the Freedom of the 50 States list?
It's not very high because of personal freedoms. Sometimes they are almost 50 in personal freedoms because of, like, marijuana and stuff like that.
Well, and when I lived in Texas, what really frustrated me was the Texas legislature, even though it was controlled by Republicans for decades, they just, like, sat on their hands when it came to things you would think Republicans would care about, like gun rights. I mean, it was embarrassing how long it took the state to actually pass constitutional carry. New Hampshire, you know, handily, you know, beat it.
New Hampshire is number one overall on this list, the Freedom in the 50 States, which is also Cato Institute's, but and it's number one overall, but economic, it's also number one. And personal, it's number four. Now, with Texas, just since you asked, Mark, wow, economic, Texas is number six, and then personal, it's number 50.
Personal, number 50. I knew that it was like around 20, and I just love to make Texans say that. Because it's to watch them squirm. It just amuses me.
You just don't understand. Texas is great for things other than, like, thinking of politics. Texas is just really great.
It goes back to the subjective theory. It goes back to the, you know, subjective theory of value. I mean, even if objectively Texas doesn't have the highest measure, subjectively it's always the best. It's very easy
apparently,
to understand.
Apparently it has the lowest measure. Number 50
it has,
in personal
it's number
freedom.
One. Yeah, it's number one in Texasness.
I mean, like, I had to leave because during COVID, I had to walk past a cop making sure I had a mask on anytime I went to go into a Walmart. I went to my favorite bar for the last time.
Were you in Austin?
No, I was in San Antonio. Wow. I vowed to never go back to Austin in 2019. And in 2020, I was in my favorite bar in San Antonio, Pegasus. It's a gay bar. There to do karaoke. Well, karaoke was closed. They had us sitting at tables. You weren't allowed to stand up from your table, and there were cops patrolling around the tables. I was like, I have to, like, it's obviously not very personally free.
Texas was famous for police, and they did this well into the 2000s. Police would go into adult sex shops, and they would arrest the owners for selling dildos. Realistic dildos are banned under state law, so they have to not be realistic. They can't be like all veiny and stuff. They have to be not flesh-colored, and they have to be sold as personal massage devices.
Wow, that's funny.
So there's a reason I moved to New Hampshire. Now I have
for
been
the dildos?
To Mexico. And, I have been to Mexico.
Could you like to slip on the ice
and stuff like that? But, I think, you know, and I think Mark, you were saying, you know, infrastructure and stuff like that. I mean, it is, you know, it is kind of, there are certain advantages to the United States you don't realize. I mean,
you know,
I think whenever I go somewhere, there's always this honeymoon period of like, oh, I can do this and I can get away with this. But then after you're there for a while, you start to see all the things. It's like, you know, their freedoms are limited too. They're just in different ways. Now, if it happens to align, like you said, with, well, I don't care about not wearing a helmet on a motorcycle, but, you know, let's say financial privacy is much more important to me, then yeah, some of these little islands might be a way, maybe in a you know, subjectively better for you.
So when I think about it, for instance, I don't need a Walmart and I don't need a McDonald's. I just don't need these things. You know, the Amazon can deliver everything that I need.
What if you were in a desert and you were starving and there was a McDonald's? Would you pay $100 for a Big Mac?
Well, I would. But mind you, starving and dehydration are completely different. You can go a long time without eating.
Then I wouldn't want to.
You know, I never hear enough people talk about freedom in this particular way, which is how I think about it. Like, I don't just think of it as where it is right now. I look at it as like a trajectory, and so I'm always curious about how it's going to change over time. So I would look at a place that maybe at one point in time isn't free, but it's moving in that direction, and be more happy about that than a place that has a lot of freedom but is moving towards not having freedom. And as far as that goes, I definitely put a lot of weight on the economic stuff, because fundamentally, the more money the state has, the more they're able to fund projects and things like that to take away more and more freedoms, or to run a you know, bad education system, or to, you know, hire more police to bug you more. So I do put a lot of weight on that economic stuff, but I'm not going to say that the other personal freedoms don't matter at all. It's just I would like rather, like, you know, make the money and then go on vacation somewhere else.
Reverse Milton Friedman there. Like, more a wealthier society, you know, according, if you had capitalism and have a wealthier society, would lead to more personal freedoms. You're actually saying the opposite, which is a wealthier society means more revenue for, you know,
well, higher taxes, not total wealth, just the percentage that the government takes, you know. So there's other things like this. You know, you could say, okay, let's say there is a place and they have welfare and maybe only 10% of the people are on it. Okay, well, that's like, I mean, it's not good, but that's okay, because the other 90% of people could still vote to get rid of it if they wanted to. But once you pass like that 51% threshold, it's just going to go downhill. So I'd never move to a place where I see those like spirals and event horizons and see them being passed.
Well, isn't that happening in the United States?
Yeah, it actually is. Yeah. I mean, I hate to say that. So the Free State Project needs to move.
When he ran for president, he got skewered on this. Mitt Romney got skewered on this because he said, well, more than 50% of people are dependent on the government. They're never.
And it's the truth.
You know?
Yeah.
Fewer social services.
I don't think the United States is collapsing. I just don't see how it can get terribly free. And
I mean, collapses are always gradual and then all at once.
Yep.
Sure. Well, but in order for a collapse to occur, it seems to me, for the United States, is there has to be somebody who's the second place who comes and kind of takes the torch. And there is no nation that is ready to step into the role of the United States. These tyrants are good at what they do, and they've been doing it a long time. And the playbook is, the pages are dog-eared and it's well-worn. So I don't see the United States slipping out of the top position by accident. Somebody's got to come and take it from them. And it ain't going to be China, and it's not going to be Japan. It's not going to be Germany. I've just gone through the list of top four. When you start using states as and see their economic power, you'll see that, like, you know, California is equal to Germany. Yep. There's no pretender to the throne.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things, you know, and there's so many variables and so many factors, and then you factor in time. It's completely unknown. It could be we have, you know, ANCAP colonies in the asteroid belt and nobody messes with us because we'll threaten to, you know, maybe nudge one of those asteroids onto a trajectory to impact Earth so we can do whatever we want in outer
space. That sounds violent.
You know?
No, it's a defensive
purely
position.
Defensive, purely
yeah,
defensive,
purely defensive.
You know?
Yeah.
You couldn't
if you don't allow us to export water from Earth, then we're going to have to, you know, lob a rock
well,
at you.
Like a couple a couple government people would be threatening to not give you the water, but you would kill everyone on the planet, therefore it's not defensive.
Maybe a smaller rock, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have lasers. Who knows?
Are those thunderbolts of God, the big rods that the government
rods
has?
From God, yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't even know if that's real. I haven't looked into
it
that.
It is real. I saw it on the news.
I mean, you know, one of the things I think a lot of people in our community advocate for a stateless society. So, I mean, if we did have a situation where, hey, you know, the United States is not the dominant power anymore, and there's no other states that are obvious contenders, maybe moving things towards a more decentralized, you know, more stateless sort of global community, maybe that's what the future has in store. I would like to be, like Colin said, he wants to be somewhere where things are getting better, not getting worse. So mm-hmm. I'd like to be hopeful.
Well, thank you so much for the call, Colin. Hopefully you, yeah. I mean, sorry, Calvin, I called you Colin because of this one being named Colin.
Yeah, you're looking at him.
I think this guy, if I just by the sound of his voice, I think he looks just like me, only a little worse.
Okay, so more
no, I actually know who this guy is. Wait, no, I wasn't supposed to say that on the air? Oh, no, never mind.
Hey, you gave away that we pay our callers to call in.
That's what Skeeter's really mad about. Yeah.
So when it comes to personal freedoms versus economic freedoms, the politicians just love to get the money. And they'll give you some freedoms here and freedoms there in order to get the money. Look at Nevada, for instance. When it comes to economic freedom, this place is far less free than, say, New Hampshire.
I'm going to disagree with you and point to something. So, okay, I'll have to back up a little bit. There's this thing called the Laffer Curve, and yep. It's a concept, and you know it, but I'll describe it to anybody in the audience.
I've met Art Laffer.
You have? Okay, good. I'll describe it, though, so that people in the audience can understand.
I don't know.
So what you're looking at is you're looking at the amount of money that the government gets in, and if they tax at 0%, they get nothing. Okay, that's sensible. And if they tax a little bit, they get obviously some amount of money. But if they tax all the way at, like, you know, 99%, economic activity is going to grind to a halt, and they're not going to actually get a lot of money. So there's an optimum amount, so to speak, for them to tax and get, like, the most amount of money that they can. Okay.
Right.
Now, having explained that concept, there was a press conference during the Obama years, and they were talking about raising a certain tax, and they asked the spokesperson or whatever, and they said, you realize, based on all of the models and all of the numbers and yada yada, that if we increase this tax, the government isn't actually going to get more money. They're going to get less, so why would we raise this tax? And the spokesperson, I forget who it was, said something to the effect of, oh, because you know, like, we basically want to punish these people. So the idea that the people in government are, like, being smart and like, oh, I just want to get, you know, some money for this and that. No, they actually aren't. I mean, and I think, and I'll point to another thing just a minute ago. We were talking, well, several minutes ago, we were talking about the percentage of the federal budget that is paid through taxes versus how much is paid through, you know, just printing money. You know, I would make an argument that we should just not even have any taxes at all, get rid of the IRS, and just pay for it all through inflation. You know, I mean, a lower level of inflation that's stable, but still that, instead of having this huge bureaucracy that wastes time and money and throws people in jail and all that. But then you think about what I just said, and you realize the point is to throw people in jail, because the point of taxation now is control,
yeah,
and manipulation. So it's not even – they literally don't care about the money. They could just – because it's not like the budget that the government passes. It's not like, well, we're not getting enough tax money. We can't afford this thing. No, they're just going to borrow it all anyways. So – there's two separate things in their mind. There's what projects are we going to spend, you know, and do? What are we trying to do to people? And then how can we control them and manipulate them through taxes and stuff like that?
This is really what Skeeter doesn't understand whenever he argues with me. He says, like, the government doesn't profit off of war. We should let them do war because it bankrupts them. And I always tell them, like, no, they do profit off of war, but not in the way that he's thinking. They profit off of it by... they gain more control and more control. Also, like, the fact that all the government, the people in the government are, you know, investing in the military-industrial complex, and then those people literally make more money. But it's not even about money. It's about control, and it's about impoverishing people. Honestly, I literally think it's also about a blood sacrifice to whatever their, like, god is, but...
Yeah, I think they're running on a different... You know, subjective value. They're running on a different set of beliefs about how things should be done. You know, I mean, and just imagine it. Just imagine if you could, having billions and billions and billions of dollars. And it's like, I'll buy a bigger house. Well, no. I mean,
you
like,
play Squid Games in the Middle East.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think that's some of what's going on. I mean, that's a bit conspiratorial. It's a bit dark. But I think a lot more is explained by that theory than the one that they just, you know, oh, they just want to, you know, be greedy and get money. I mean, maybe low-level bureaucrats, maybe the governor of a state, maybe the person, yeah, the mayor, but,
right,
you know, not the people at the federal level.
We do have...
The point I would like to make is that pretty much if you picked your top three freedoms, social freedoms,
mm-hmm,
you're going to find a place that has those top three freedoms likely to the level you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas when it comes to economic freedom, it's very difficult,
yep,
to find some place that isn't going to tax you, you know, if you've got if you make enough money.
Nevada is number one in personal freedoms for this.
That's because you can get a hooker, a machine gun, gamble away your money, and do all kinds
marijuana,
of stuff.
Marijuana, yeah.
Yeah.
And New Hampshire is only number four. Maine is even higher. Maine is number three.
In which one?
The Cato freedom in the 50 states.
No, in which type of freedom?
Personal freedom.
Personal freedom? Okay.
New Hampshire is number one in economic.
Okay.
But we do have a caller on the line. Real quick, David, what's on your mind? David from New Mexico.
Yo, Bonnie, it's your boy, Daver.
Yeah, but he's changed it. He's changed it, David. Huh? He said that now he's your daddy or something like that.
No, he's my daddy.
Oh. Yeah, but I'm not Skeeter. I'm Daver. So, yo, Bonnie, it's your boy.
What's up?
Lots of stuff, yo.
For real?
There stole my huh? What?
For real? For real? Legit?
For real?
No cap.
This is New Mexico. This is New Mexico. Reels is plural, so it's for reals.
Oh, okay.
In New Mexico, yeah.
I gotta learn that.
Yeah, and when you drive through and get the stuff, you know, the stuff, the goods from Sarah. Yeah, from Sarah.
Oh, from Sarah.
Yeah, you need to know that it's for reals, not for real, but for real.
All right, I'll knock on Sarah's door and say, "What's up, Sarah? For reals, hope you're doing well." And she'll give me a look.
There you go. Yeah, right on. So but your boy there stole my thunder. I was going to say the exact same thing as he did. It's called Babylonian Money Magic, as I told you a week or two ago.
Babylonian Money Magic? It sounds like, I mean, I really do feel like they have some kind of other religion than we do. And it's the only thing that explains the evil of what the United States government does.
I didn't follow up on that, so.
So it's Free Talk Live. You can learn more at freetalklive.com. We'll be back live tomorrow. Same time. Peace.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.